say there's mansions there inside the city.
Praise the Lord.
A crystal river flowing by. Christ, our God will be the light.
Well, that sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to dim our eyes again. Sounding sweeter all the time too, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you enjoyed service here Wednesday night? You appreciate the word of the Lord? Continuation of the book of Acts. You know, we look at those guys and those ministers and all those great men of old, and well, we just hold them really up high. But you know what? They were human beings just like we are. They were human beings. I'm glad that we're going through this book of Acts, aren't you? It's a great, great time to be a Christian, to be in church, to love the Lord with all your heart. How many of you looking forward to church tonight? I believe we're going to have a good time. Brother David has studied. I know he's applied himself, and we're going to seek the Lord tonight for just an outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord. God can do anything he wants to here tonight. He has free reign in this service. Is that right? Look at somebody and tell them, God bless you. Amen. Tell them, God bless you. Let's sing that chorus again, brother. We'll play a little bit of it while we're ready. Bless you, Brother Terry. Bless you, buddy. Oh, let's sing that chorus one more time. And that sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to dim our eyes.
Hills will echo with love's story as we sing of His grace and glory.
Oh, where the saints of God will be, that sound. to dim your eyes again. Say praise the Lord. Oh, you can beat that. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Now let's give him a good hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit tonight while we look at our prayer request. Several things we want to let you know about tonight. We want to pray for Brother Jeff Nunley. He has been in the hospital this week with the flu. He's home now, but still not feeling well. Also, Sister Pat Nunley, not feeling well. So we want to remember those folks tonight as we pray that the Lord would be mindful of them. We want to have prayer for Sister Shirley Robbins, suffering with the flu, stomach bug virus. So let's pray for her tonight. We want to pray for a young girl from North Carolina who has several problems. God knows all about the situation. We just commit that unto the Lord. Brother Randy Scott wants us to remember him in prayer. Been suffering with a lot of pain in his shoulder, also his neck and lower back, and one of his knees has been making it very difficult for him to work. So we want to pray for his healing tonight, that the Lord would just be mindful of him. Please remember my cousin's daughter. Her name is Jackie. Her cancer has returned. Sister Teresa White sends that in. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Reese says to please continue to remember my cousin. He is in the intensive care unit. And Brother Charlie and the Therese folks says to tell everybody hello. So we just tell them hello back. Is that right? Amen. I want to pray for Gabriel Harris tonight. He has a fever and a sore throat. So let's remember that need tonight. Sister Janet Kennedy offers this testimony. I just want to thank God and everyone who prayed for me about my test. The results came back negative for cancer, and the doctor has rechecked my blood work, and everything is now normal, and she wants to praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Jennifer McGraw says to please pray for my grandparents. My grandpa is recovering from open heart surgery. My grandmother had to be taken to the hospital by ambulance for stomach pain. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. All the sickness in our local assemblies, we certainly want to pray for all those that are suffering with flu and different things going on. Brother Warren, let's remember him. Brother Harvey still recovering. Let's just pray for all the needs. Sister Winters, we want to always remember her in prayer, just a precious sister. And Brother Michael, let me just make this announcement while we're looking at this. Tomorrow morning there will be no Sunday school due to the flu, the sickness that's going around. So remember that, no Sunday school in the morning. And don't forget to set your clocks ahead 1 hour tonight. Set them ahead 1 hour before you go to bed tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, do you believe God's bigger than whatever our problems are? We believe that with all of our heart, don't we? Somebody say it's the truth. Could we stand tonight? Let's sing that little chorus just before we pray. Let's give him some thanks tonight. Can we sing that chorus? We want to say thanks. We want to say thanks, thanks. I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Yes, we are.
My soul is boundless.
Oh, Lord, I will give you thanks. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Skip, would you come tonight? Take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of all these requests. Your needs tonight, whatever they are, we want to certainly pray for our pastor over in Virginia, Brother Wall's place. Let's just pray that the Lord would give them good services there this weekend. And we just look forward to what God's going to do here in our local assembly. Amen. Let's give God bless you. Appreciate you, baby.
Let's everybody pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we're certainly very thankful to be able to come to church, Lord, on Saturday night. And we've been a little under the weather, Lord, and we just appreciate the internet, Lord. We just thank you to be able to sit home and listen to it when we don't feel well, Father. And we know there's many out there tonight doing the same. And we pray for each of these requests, Lord. You're a healer. There's a bomb in Gilead. And, Lord, there's many places you could go that you couldn't have faith, Lord, in maybe what they believe or what they're taught. But we have the truth here, Lord, and we know you're a healer. And we know, God, that you are mindful of your people, Lord. And the many requests that come in here, these people have confidence in our prayers, Father. Let us be able to identify with them, Lord. Be able to set our maybe feelings aside, maybe of an individual, and just pray for that person, Lord, and believe for them, Lord, for they depend on us, Lord, in their prayers. Father, we ask that you be Brother David tonight, Lord. You'd bless him in a mighty way. And, Lord, I'd like to say how I appreciate these ministers here, Lord, how they pray for these people that come up for prayer, Lord. We have confidence in our ministry, Lord, and we thank you. Father, these individuals, I can't name them all. I know I'd miss one. There's several that come up and help each one that wants to pray, Lord. It just hit home with me the other night, Lord, when I seen them praying for the people coming up, Lord. We thank you for them. We thank you for each office here, Lord. And we just pray you'd be with us now, that you'd reveal your word. Let us leave here stronger than when we came. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service tonight, we want to welcome you. All those that are streaming the service, we pray it would be a blessing to those folks as well tonight. Let's sing a song. It's called Stand By Me. When I'm growing old and feeble, I believe he'll stand right there with us. Don't you? Amen. And you know what? If we get weary in the journey, what do? We don't quit and give up and throw the towel in and just say, well, I believe I'll just sit at the house. We keep fighting. We keep going on. We keep pressing the battle. You know what? I'd hate to give up. I'd hate to give up with the lights of the city just over that next hill. Wouldn't you hate to give up that and quit and home just in vision almost? Hey, we're almost home, church. Do you believe me with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. When the storms of life are raging,
stand by.
Oh, when the storms life are raging,
stand by me.
When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, of tribulation,
oh, stand by me, stand by me.
Oh, in the midst of tribulation,
stand by me.
Glory. Oh, when the host of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, thou who's never lost a battle,
stand by me.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Now in the midst of my faults and failures,
stand by me.
warriors.
Stand by me when I do the best
oh, yes.
I can. And my friends,
oh,
they misunderstand.
Thou who knowest all about me.
Stand by me.
Glory. Now in the midst of persecution.
Stand by me.
Oh Lord, stand by us, we pray. I believe that tonight with all of my heart. Let's sing a little chorus just before we change the order. Sister Lindsay, if you come on to the platform tonight, be getting ready to sing for us. We'll go right on into the service, turn Brother David loose. But let's sing a little bit of old gospel ship. Is that all right? Let's see if we can sing a little bit of that tonight. Well, I'm going to take a trip in the old gospel ship. I'm going far. singing so good tonight. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated. Give Sister Lindsay a nice hand as she gets ready to sing for you at this time.
Turning the world off, embracing the silence, walking away from all the voices that are screaming in my ear. I've been too caught up, I've been so stressed out, and all of the noise replaced the whisper that used to be so clear. Now I close every door, put my face back on the floor. I'm in your arms where I belong. There's no other place for me than right where you are. Some things just don't change when I call.
you glad to be here? I'm ready to hear a preacher that can pray a storm away. I said we was going to get some bad weather, but I think Brother David had something the Lord wanted us to hear. Gee, brothers. We'll praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him.
Praise be to God. Somebody prayed old Booger Man Winter away once again. Amen. Sometimes they can get the weather right about like flipping a coin. I'm glad I know the master of every wind. I believe our God is in control. You believe that? Oh, good atmosphere in this place tonight. Amen. Well, good. I got two forks full for the weekend. I hope you leave out of here so spiritually fat tomorrow that you have to all have wheelchairs. Amen. St. John chapter 11, I'd like to start at verse 20. Certainly greet you in the name of the Lord. It's good to be home for a weekend. I have traveled quite extensively through last fall and even this spring, and fixing to be gone again for most of April. We've got Johannesburg, South Africa coming at the end of this month and the first part of April, and then we'll be gone the middle of the month down to New Zealand, to Auckland, New Zealand. Then at the end of the month, we're going for another meeting over in Poland. So we got a lot going, but certainly need the help of the Lord to move in the meetings and touch His children. And we've been seeing that, and I just want to continue to see that. Amen. St. John chapter 11, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met Him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, My brother had not died. But I know that even now, in that good faith, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now, watch, Martha gets real spiritual. Oh, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am that resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said so, she went her way and called Mary her sister, secretly saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Drop down to verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Now, isn't it amazing? Jesus asks her, where have you laid him? In other words, we could say, where did you lose hope at? Where did your faith completely give out on you? Where'd you quit praying at? Where'd you quit believing at? I said, Lord, come and we'll show you where he's at. Verse 39, and Jesus said, take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he'd been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he has thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. I'd like to take our subject out of verse 28, that when Mary, her sister, came secretly saying, the Master is come and calleth thee. That's what I'd like to speak to you, Lord willing, tonight. The Master has come and calleth. Let's just bow our hearts now. The Master is come and he calleth thee. Heavenly Father, as we come into your house tonight, we enter into your gates with thanksgiving. And we ask, Lord, that you would just come and let you would anoint us all together, that we may receive something from your word. And Lord, we just look to you tonight. By faith, we're believing, Lord, that you're going to come. And Lord, you're going to meet every need that's in this place. Lord, for when we ask, Lord, we should ask abundantly. So Lord, we ask, Lord, that every sick and feeble person, that they receive their healing. We ask, Lord, that you would just send, Lord, a move of the Spirit among us. May you stir us up, Lord. Send revival into our hearts, Lord. And we ask, Lord, not just revival to make us jump and shout, but Lord, revive our spirits, Lord. May there be a refreshing from your presence tonight. We ask, Lord, that you would come, Lord, and refill those that needs a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I'm sure we all need it tonight. May you come, have your way in this place, Lord. May every need be met. May every heart, I pray, may they pull from the Word of God that which they have need of tonight. Grant it, Lord, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. You could be seated for a few moments if you like. And I got my stopwatch going, so I'm watching time very closely so I certainly don't want to wear you plumb out, but I figured out that I need to kind of keep an eye on my time a little bit, because I've been getting a little bit long-winded, so you pray for me. It's hard for a preacher. It's hard to try to preach about eternity in about 45 minutes. It really is, but we're doing our best by the grace of God. We know as the children of God that we are living in the darkest age, the darkest hour that any other age has never been able to see, quite the battle that you and I face today. And we know that that is part of a Christian life. We understand that being a Christian, part of our lives, we're going to be tested, we're going to be tried, and that's part of serving God. And we understand that because we serve God, we understand that the enemy of my soul and the enemy of your soul, he's going to do everything he can to come against you and I. And we know that as we serve God in this hour, and how that we just believe that we're serving not just a God that can save us and a God that can heal us, but we believe that He's a God of miracles. He's the Jehovah of miracles. And we know that because we serve such a God as that, that when we would be tried, that immediately we have somebody that we could turn to, somebody who's able to change the situation that we're in. And we believe we serve that kind of a God. Now, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4:12, he said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning this fiery trial," he said, "which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you." Now, what Paul is telling us is that don't think it's strange if you go through a great trial. Don't think it's something odd that you're different from anybody else and you're being tried like nobody else and tried. But Paul tells us that we are going to be tried. But not only are we going to be tried, Paul is telling us that when it comes against you, not to be astonished when you find yourself in the middle of a battle. He's telling us, don't be surprised. Don't be shocked if you're tried beyond measure. Don't be astounded if you're tried more than the people that's around you. But I want you to notice that Paul didn't only say that we're going to be tried, because we know that we're going to be. But Paul said the kind of trial that he's going to come against us with is a fiery trial. Now, there must be a difference then between just regular trial, or I'll say church age trials, compared to bride age trials. Because we know in the day that we're living in, we are being tried. You say you believe God. I believe Satan will do everything he can to try us on what we say amen to. We say our God's a healer. You'll be tried when you say amen to God being a healer. You believe that God can deliver you. We believe that. And I recognize I'm going to be tried by what I say amen to. But it doesn't change the word, and it certainly ain't going to change my faith. It's because God is able, and even more than able, to go far beyond what you and I can even think. But Paul said that don't be astonished if you come against this fiery trial. Now, the type of fiery trial that Paul's talking about, and I was looking at this afternoon, that it was actually called the refiner's trial. The refiner's fire is the type of trial that you and I are going to go through. Now, when you deal with a refiner's fire, we know that the refiner, of course, he'll take the metal and he'll put it in this fire and he'll get it so hot, and then he'll pull that metal out of there and he'll take a hammer and he'll begin to beat upon that metal and he'll turn the metal. He begin to beat upon it again until he begins to mold it and to shape it, amen, into what he wants it to be. And Paul is saying that's the kind of trials that you're going to go through. God's going to put you in the fire, but you're not going to stay in the fire. You are going to come out of this fiery trial. And when you come out of that trial, all the dross that was upon you, all the deposits of different types of metal, the impurities that lays in that metal, the man who is beating on the metal has an eye to get rid of all of those things. And certainly our God has an eye that He knows what we need to get rid of. He knows what things are hanging upon us, because we cannot be molded into the right kind of a Christian, the right kind of a believer, as long as we got things hanging on us, the impurities of the world. And really, we would look at those things not as something that, oh my, God hates me and God don't like me. No, the reason you're going through it is because God loves you. Because every son and daughter of God that comes to God is going to be chastened of the Lord. Then we understand that Paul says it's a fiery trial, the refiner's trial. And he would take and mire the repeated over and over again. Not that you get it just when you're a teenager, but brother, you'll fight this kind of trials the rest of your life. But not only will you fight, but you're not by yourself when you go to fight. You got some, amen, you've got somebody to help you when you get down. You got somebody to help you when you got sick. You got someone near you when you feel like you can't do it on your own. He promised, "I'll be with you even in you until the end of the world." Now, we understand the fire is going to melt away everything that is not in this hour pure gold. God only wants pure Christians. And so we understand the calamities of life and the trials that comes against us to test our character. We know that God wants to mold into us the right kind of character, because the only thing you're going to take with you when you leave here, you're not taking books and you're not taking tapes.
But the only thing you're going to take with you when you leave here is the character that has been molded into you. Now, God does not come down to you when you get the Holy Ghost and give you a long bill of character and mind. Everything that you need to be the right kind of Christian lays within that character. He doesn't do it that way. But character is not a gift. Character is a victory. Character is our, so when we leave this world, we're taking our victory with us. Amen. We're taking the victory of all the tests and the trials that you went through in life. You are taking that victory with you when you leave here. Brother, don't think the tests and trials, the fiery trials, are for naught or just for no reason. But God is molding you in the refiner's fire to make sure that you are molded and shaped with the right character of victory. Oh, hallelujah. But on the other side of the coin, we know that Satan is a liar. And he's doing everything he can to try and tear the kingdom of God down. As a matter of fact, if you're still standing tonight, believe in this gospel, you're a special person. Because you made it through another week of Laodicea. Brother, I want you to understand, you made it through another week of the darkest hour there ever has been. You made it through another day of every demon of hell. If he could have took you to a premature grave, he would have took you in a car wreck. He would have took you with some disease, but you're still standing here tonight. Hallelujah. You're still here believing. You're still here with your hands up. Have we been tried? Yes, we've been tried, but we're still standing. So we go through problems, you better believe we got problems. And Satan hates every one of us tonight. In so much that Paul warned the church when he admonished them in 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Now we know the word devil means a false accuser. I know that's simple, but that's good. Because if you just know the definition of your devil, if you know the definition of your enemy, he's a false accuser. He's a slanderer of your life. He's prone to slander and slander. He's accusing falsely. And he's seeking. Look at the word seeking. He seeks about, to seek for, to go about, to desire, to seek in order to find, to seek in order to find out by thinking about you, meditating on you, to reasoning, inquires into you, to seek after, he aims after, strives after, to seek, to demand, to crave, to demand something from someone. So that false accuser is demanding something from you. And then Paul goes on to say, he seeketh about whom he may devour, which means swallow up, to swallow, to drown, to devour, to drink down, to swallow up. What's the last word? Destroy. The enemy of my soul wants to destroy me. That's exactly what the devil would love to do to every son and daughter of God in this building tonight. He would love nothing better but to destroy you. He lies in wait for you. He sets traps for you. He's constantly meditating on how he's going to get you down, making the next trial that you're going to go through. Because he loves to accuse you falsely, but not just falsely. If he could seek after and then devour. He's seeking for you, meditating on how to destroy us. In so much that the Bible says that he craves. Think about it. He seeks, he craves, he desires. He actually desires to destroy you because Satan hates you. Satan uses up people. Oh my. He gets them hung up on drugs. He gets them hung up on alcohol. And when they get down, he kicks them to the curb like a bad habit. He takes somebody in the prime of their life when they're serving God and wanting to do something from God. And he takes and oh my, he overwhelms them. And he gets them addicted to all kinds of things. Then he kicks them away. But how different it is from the God we serve. He finds the drunk in the gutter and he picks him up. cleans him up, washes him up, and then takes him up. Amen. When Satan gets done with y'all, brother, does God still want me? He wants you just as much then as it was when you were sitting on the church pew. Satan hates it when you go to church. Satan hates it when you sing. He despises you to raise your hand. He despises you to worship. He despises when you pray. He can't stand the fact that you're saved. He can't stand the fact that you've got the Holy Ghost. He can't stand it that when you ask anything in the name of Jesus Christ, he comes under obedient to your words. So he meditates and he ponders to find ways to swallow you up. Hell's happiest days is when you miss church. I thought Brother Terry would say amen to that one. Hell's happiest days is when you leave your Bible on Sunday afternoon and you don't pick it up again on Wednesday night. Woo, praise the Lord. Hell's happiest days is when you ain't seen your tape recorder in about 6 months. These are just things that goes through my mind while I'm studying. Hell's happiest days is when you don't back the Word of God up. Hell's happiest days is when you just sit but you don't receive. He loves to get you down. He loves to discourage you. He loves for you to question God and what God does and how God moves and the way that he does it. Hell's happiest days is when you're at your lowest point in life. Hell's happiest days when you contemplate suicide. Brother Dave, we're in the message. I know we're in the message. That's why I'm saying that. What do you think every gun in hell is aimed at? He ain't trying just to get Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians. He wants to get you who are said, who is called the Queen of Heaven. That's who Satan wants tonight. He don't want somebody out here in the world that don't believe God as an atheist and dognostic. He wants you. Amen. I have to be honest, there's times in my life when I feel overwhelmed. That means yes in Tennessee, that means no. I feel overwhelmed sometimes. But brother, maybe you're a preacher, I'm telling you, I feel overwhelmed sometimes. Sometimes the battle's too great. Sometimes it's so hard. And I say, God, I'm fixed to have to give up. And God says, finally. Lord, I can't do it. Finally. I can't do this by myself. Finally, you realize you ain't never been able, nor will you ever be able to do it by yourself. He, you are designed in such a way where you need his help. Oh my, when you get down, it feels like the walls of Laodiceism encroaching in around us, and you feel like everything's about to collapse. And it's during that time right there that Satan really likes to pour it on you. That's when he really likes to get you down. That's when he really likes to discourage you. It's during that time right there he really likes to stick his chest out and really boast. Brother Evans says it like this in Raising Jairus' Daughter. You know the devil takes advantage of you when you get tired and wore out. He does you the same way as who? The prophet of the age. You just get a little tired and wore out, and you get discouraged. Believe it, I don't get discouraged. I know what your other problem is. Brother, face the facts, when it looks like there's no way out, and Satan is telling you you're not going to make it, you're finished, it's over, you're done. And friends, I'm telling you, it's during those times right there when it seems like anything that could go wrong has went wrong and you don't know what you're going to do. And my, you're at wit's end. Don't you see, friends, that's the time you need somebody to stand with you. That's when you got to realize that you've got a hidden power within you. It's during those times when you're so down, you've got to dig deep down within you and say, I believe it whether I understand it or not. Hallelujah. Satan's told me many times you ain't going to make it. He's told me many times you ain't a son of God. He's told me many times you only believe this message because your grandpa and your daddy did. He's told some of you this very same thing. He's told you wouldn't even be around this message had your daddy not followed this message, had your mama not followed it. Brother, I don't follow because daddy did. I don't follow because mama did. I follow because it's been a revealed word into my heart. And if mama leaves, I'm standing. If daddy leaves, I'm standing. If grandpa leaves, I'm standing. He's told me many times, you're done. You know what I tell him? That's what you said last time. Come on, somebody. You said I wouldn't get healed. That's what you said last time. You said you'd never get delivered of that sickness. That's what you said last time. Isaiah says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against me in judgment, thou shalt confess, this is the inheritance. This is the inheritance, the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Yeah, I say it's of him, because it ain't mine. Brother, mine is like filthy rags in the sight of God. But I'm talking about his righteousness. I'm talking about his love. Amen. There's times we get down in our lives and we feel like there's no way out. Been there. Amen. The Bible tells us that when you get to that place, you have to remember, as 1 John said, the greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's because it gets you looking inward besides outward. I'm convinced one of the greatest problems we got around this message is we're so good at keeping up with outward. We know every mistake he makes. We know every shortcoming he has. Amen. And we have the tendency to look to the outside man. We see he's human. Amen. You are a human. Yes, you're going to make mistakes because you're a human. But greater is he that's in me. Amen, somebody. Paul said it like this. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but I'm not in despair. We need to let the devil know this. This is the power of God in us. It's a treasure in earthen vessel, not of us, but of God. I'm troubled on every side, but I am not distressed. We're perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but I am not forsaken. I am not forsaken. I can't be forsaken. He was already forsaken, so I wouldn't have to be forsaken. Yes, I've been cast down, but he couldn't destroy me. He got me down. I was cast down, but I was not destroyed. Because we're always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also Jesus might be made manifest in our what? Bodies. So Satan, not only is a liar, but he's also a thief. Watch this, the latest foundation. For the Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now the word destroy means to ruin or bring you down to ruins. Young people, he wants to ruin your life. He wants to put you in a snare until you're so ruined your life. He wants to steal your happiness. Don't you see this enemy fight? He wants to steal your happiness. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your virtues. He wants to take your dream away. We don't hear that a lot around the message, but it's facts. Because I got one. I got one. It ain't to be president. Come on. It ain't to be president. The desire of my soul, the dream of my heart is to leave here in a body change to be those that are alive and remain. Brother, that's what I want to be. I want to be those that are caught away. He wants to steal. He wants to rob us of our joy. Don't you see, friends, everything, every day around our house, husband between wife, the husband and children, the father and father, and the father to the children, the mother to the children. He wants to do his way to creep upon a home. He wants to find a way to sneak in somehow to rob happiness away. That's the reason we're constantly battling. Because if Satan get a wedge in between you and a husband, or a wife between a wife and a husband, or a family member, or in-laws, or outlaws, or whatever it might be, you realize if he can drive a wedge in there, look what he's done. That ain't nothing but that thief. You want to realize what the trouble with church problems is? The thief is behind it. That liar, that false accuser, that slandering comes around us to destroy. He'd love nothing better than you just to give up on God. Amen. But let me brag on my daddy a while. Even though Satan tries to get us to believe that God is so small, he's so puny, that he's a God of yesterday, that surge of belief ain't left us yet. Come on, somebody. Amen. That he's so weak, so puny. Oh, yeah, he answers prayers, but he don't answer your prayers. See that slander? He tries to push us to the place that God, he might exist and he might move, but he won't move for you. Remember, he tried to get Brother Brown on that. So he tried to tell him there wasn't a God, and he said, I didn't know there was a God. He said, but he tried to give him, said, well, God loves people, he just don't love you. He tries to convince us that some myth, methodical thought from our minds, and that if you get in trouble, if the doctor can't fix it, then you're gone, and that's a lie. Because he's a thief. Because he tries to get you to look with just optimism besides real hope in the Word. Amen. And then when you do get down, he tells you there's no way out. Come on, somebody. But that's a lie. Now think about it, because our God, listen, he's a faithful God. Out of the attributes of the scripture, when the writers would begin to describe God, they would recognize him as a faithful God. Paul said he's a great faithful high priest. John on the Isle of Patmos said that he is the faithful and true witness. David said it like this to the in Psalms 46:1 to the chief musician for the sons of Korah. It means to the song leader amongst them. A song upon Alamos. God is our strength, our refuge and strength. And a very present. What's that next word? Brother, there ain't nobody in this building that don't need that from day to day. There's not one person that don't need the help of the Lord Jesus. But he's not just a help. He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried right into the midst of the sea, though the waters are of roar and be troubled, though mountains shake with swellings thereof. Brother, how much better could it describe the age we're living in, where the seas are come roaring in, earthquakes in diverse places, scared to death that California is going to fall off in the ocean. They're scared of it. But not me. I welcome the sight. Amen, brother. I know your name is going to be catastrophic. I know, but brother, that's the sign of our deliverance is at hand. How can you say that? Because he's a very present help in the time of trouble. He's never left us. He's never forsaken you. He's never given up on you. He cares for you. We need to hear this. He don't give up on you. He won't forsake you. He don't quit on you. I'm going to say it again because we need to hear it. He don't quit on you. When the going gets tough and the tough gets going, God still stands. When trials are overwhelming you, he still stands with you. And when it looks like there ain't no way out, God has always showed up and made a way out. Hallelujah. I said he always shows up. May not be in your time, may not be in my time, but he's got his own time and he knows what he's doing. Paul said like this in 1 Corinthians 10 in a hurry. God is faithful. I like saying that. I love to pray that. I love to tell him when I go to prayer, Lord, you've always been faithful. Lord, you've been more faithful to me than I've been to you. Lord, when I was down and out, you were still faithful. When I was sick, you're still faithful. God is faithful. Watch now. And who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able? But with the temptation also maketh, createth. Hallelujah. He maketh. Comes from the same world when he made the worlds. The worlds was framed by the word of God. He creates where there ain't no way, he creates a way. When it looks like it's hopeless, he creates hope where there ain't no hope. Where there ain't no joy, he creates joy where there ain't no joy. He make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He has always made a way of escape. Amen. Think about it. Adam was in sin. God found Adam in sin, and he made a way out. He found Joseph in prison, but he made a way out. He found Jacob running from Esau, but he made a way out. He found Moses a murderer. He made any worse than that tonight. He found him as a murderer, but he made a way out. No matter how far down you get, Jesus Christ will provide a ladder to get you out of where you're at, Daniel. He will be the, amen, he will be the thing that stands between you and the lions. He'll be the fourth man in the fire that keeps the flames off of you. He's a present help. David said it like this: if I ascend up into heaven, they are there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. He don't care how bad it looks. He don't care how far down it is. If you make your bed right beside every imp out of hell, he said, I'll be there with you. Behold your God tonight. If you're on the mountaintop, he's there. If you're in the valley, he's there. If you go all the way to hell, I'll come all the way to hell and get you. I'll be there. If you're on the mountain, I'm there. He's a present tense God. David's telling us this. David's letting us know he's with us. He's simply telling you he's with us. No matter where you're at, he's with you. No matter what you're going through, he's with you. Satan can make himself look so big sometimes and make you feel so hopeless, empty, lost, betrayed, forsaken. But I like what Micah said in Micah 7:7. I love this. Therefore, I will look into the Lord. Micah, with all the trouble that was going on around him, Micah said, I'm going to look to the Lord, and I will. Here's the problem we got sometimes. Martha, Mary, here's the problem we got sometimes. I will wait. I will wait. But Jesus, you didn't come when I wanted you to. I will wait for the God of my salvation, because my God will hear me. Brother, when you're fighting a great mountain, it looks like there's no way out. Look at this man's faith when everything was coming against Micah. Micah says, my God, he will hear me. Oh, when Daniel had all the demons of hell coming against his prayer, remember he prayed, and for 21 days, the angel finally got through. I said, Daniel, I heard you the first day you prayed. I heard you from the first time you whispered it. I heard you from the first time you breathed it, Daniel. Micah says, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Verse 8, rejoice. Oh, I love the warning to the enemy. Rejoice not against me, oh, mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Micah's not saying he won't fall. Micah's not saying he won't make mistakes. But if I fall, it ain't over yet. God, give that to us tonight. I said it ain't over yet. If I get down, brother, let me just say this. Father's mother, you're looking at your children, you're looking at your daughters. If they fall, it's not over yet. I am forced to believe this tonight. I've got loved ones in the world. If they fall, I've raised them according to the admonition of the Lord. It ain't over yet. Don't rejoice yet, devil. Don't rejoice yet, enemy. I call and my God will hear me. Hallelujah. I called their name and I cried it out, and my God heard me. What do I got to do now, Brother David? I will wait patiently. I feel the Holy Ghost on that. Amen. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be my light unto me. If I got to serve him in the darkness, I'll serve him in the darkness. Because I know I serve a man who can turn on the light. Hallelujah. Can you handle a little more? Isaiah said like this in Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee. Hallelujah. I'm your maker. I'm your designer. And I created you. O Jacob, he that formed thee. O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name and thou art mine. I don't belong to the devil. I don't belong to hell. I don't belong to Laodicea. I belong to my Creator. I am my beloved and he is mine. And his banner over me, it ain't denomination, it ain't organization, it ain't disease, it's love. I have called thee by thy name. The master's come and he calleth thee. Can you hear it tonight? I have called thee by thy name and thou art mine. When you go to the seminaries and study the Bible, when you go to Bob Jones University and try to figure out something about God, he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Not if thou passest through the waters. When thou passest through the waters. Hallelujah. He's not telling you you're not going to have trouble. But Jimmy's not telling us that we're not going to have sickness and trials. He's not telling us we're not going through the refiner's fire. But when you do, I'm going to be with you. Brother, we got to have confidence enough in our God and how faithful he is that when we are in our desperate moment, when there's life or if there is no life, we believe that God is in control of that moment. Amen. We have to believe. I'm forced to believe my life is in the hands of Jehovah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the sickness is so great and the pain is through your body so much and you don't know where your deliverance is going to come from, you've got to have that faith anchored in you. Lord, I may not hardly be able to catch my next breath, but I know you're with me. When I'm in life despair, when I feel like my life is fleeing at any moment, somewhere all of this serving you, all this believing you, all this church that we've been through, all the message that we heard, all the words that's come across my life, all the things you've done for me, I am forced to believe you're present right then. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hope you hear me tonight. I will be with thee through the rivers. They shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, Shadrach, you're not going to be burned. And the flame won't even kindle upon you. What a precious promise that we possess as the children of God. When thou walkest through the fire, I'm going to be in the fire with you. If you make your bed in hell, I'll be there. If thou goest through the river, they're not going to overflow you. You're going to overcome them. Because I serve a God that can walk on the water. Amen! I am going through this fire, brother. I am going through the refiner's fire. We are going to overcome. We've been called to do so. We've been anointed to do so. Hallelujah. Called to believe it. There's a story about a painting at one time that had actually hung in the Louvre there in Paris, France, and I was there just a couple of years ago, and me and Brother Wayne Lawson was there, and worst mistake they could ever make is let two Pentecostal preachers come in there. Me and Brother Wayne was going through the Louvre, and we went in there. We didn't have just a tremendous amount of time, but we went there into the Louvre, and we wanted to see one thing. We wanted to see the Mona Lisa. Well, I wanted to say, I wanted to see the Mona Lisa. And so I thought, you know, we'll go and see this so-called masterpiece from this man. And we come in there. I really didn't know what to expect when we started going through there. I've never cared much about art, never looked much at art. Just a picture is a picture. And some every once in a while, something will stand out to you. But whenever I got to walking through the halls of this gigantic place, I was overwhelmed and mesmerized. Because the majority of the paintings that's in there has something to do with the Scripture in Christ. That's true. And so while we're going down through here, of course, I don't speak French, and a lot of it was wrote in French there in Paris, and I didn't really know, but I would look at the picture, and the picture at times would, sometimes the light would hit it just right if you moved just enough, and you could make out something that you didn't just see when you first appeared. Well, praise God. It's just hard enough to preach that by itself. First time you looked at it, it looked hopeless, but then something come out of it. Amen. But we begin to walk down through these halls, and we would come by a picture, and there, one of the pictures we was looking at, it was just a small young lad, and got to look at him, had bushy hair, it was red hair, and got to looking down in his hand, and he had something in his hand. And I looked down and I seen a sword in one of his hands. I thought, that's strange. Here this young boy is here with red hair, bushy hair, curly hair, glory, with that sword in his hand. But whenever I moved just a little bit, I was looking what was in his other hand, and I got to looking in the darkness. Here come out of the darkness, there was a head in this boy's hand. And the more I got to looking at it, I realized who this was. For the prophet said that David was a small, shrimpy boy, curly red hair. Brother, I want to tell you, we like to have just a fit right there. Because he ain't standing there defeated. He's got Goliath's head in his hand. Not only does he got his head, he's got his own sword in his hand. We moved down through there. Man, we was looking at one after another. And we was watching these paintings until finally we got down to the end of the hall, and I went, I never seen no Mona Lisa anywhere. And we got so caught up looking at the rest of this pictures, we passed the Mona Lisa. So we went back, and of course, Miss Lisa's got her own little hall, and we walked into this room. And there, this great big bulletproof glass, this great big wall there, and you get right in the middle of that wall, and there's a picture about the size of that laptop right there, that tablet. And I thought, where's the rest of it at? And everybody's gathered around it, and they're taking pictures, and there's some people trying to, you know, to draw it, and we're looking at it, and I thought, don't look like much to me. I got a lot more out of David than I ever did her. Then we thought, what would be in the room with the Mona Lisa? Brother, when you walk in, there's the wall where the Mona Lisa is, but when you turn around from where the Mona Lisa is, it's bigger, it's quite bigger than this wall here, way up in the air. And there on the plastered across that wall is the wedding of Canaan. And Jesus is sitting right in the middle of the table where he belongs at. Amen! And I thought, right there staring Mona Lisa right in the face is the King himself. When you go just to the left of the Mona Lisa, oh, I'll never forget this as long as I live. As we're looking there at the pictures just left of the Mona Lisa, There was Jesus as he was taking the cross and he was dragging the cross down that Via Dolorosa. And they got a picture of our Lord suspended between the air, hung on that cross. So I begin to look at the picture. I left that room. It's the only way I can explain it to you. I left that room. I looked at the one underneath it. It's a picture of Jesus where he had expired. And they'd taken and pulled the nails out of his hands. And the color of his body, I'll never forget how vivid it was. The color of his skin where the blood had drained from his body. And they'd pulled the nails from his hands. And they was holding the limp, lifeless body of my Savior. Brother, there wasn't a word spoken between me and Wayne. But I cried like a baby. He's crying, I'm crying, we're not saying a word. I'm so moved. I'm so moved. Because this ain't just a picture to me. This is more than just a picture. It's reality. His limp arm with his hand dragging there by the cobblestones and the rocks and the dirt. And I thought, oh God, them hands that at one time that touched that ground and got some dirt and spit in that dirt created eyeballs. Amen! Those lips where the blood had left him was there, but there's no words of victory coming out of them. No words of healing. No words of wisdom. But a limp, lifeless body. He was taking him to the tomb. You can't help but think, that should have been me. That should have been me in their hands. Should have been me being dragged to a tomb. Needless to say, I never looked at art the same again. It changed the way you looked at it. And now when I see a piece that's on a wall, and it may not have a distinction in it, but there's just something about it that once you see that there's a picture behind the picture within the picture. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad when Jesus looked at me. He looked way with it. He didn't just look to the outside. He didn't just look to the mistakes. He didn't look to the sin and the shortcomings. But he looked way within me. And he seen himself in there. So he redeemed me. Glory. There was a picture one time that hung in the Louvre. Two men had been in there. They was watching, going from one painting to another. They came up upon one painting. And this painting, of course, it was a man on one side and it's supposed to be the devil on the other side. And there on the checkerboard it had, or the chessboard rather, had all the pieces of the devil was there. But the man was down to one piece. And at the bottom of the painting, it said checkmate. And the devil's sitting there with a grin, a little cocky grin on his face. And the man was so down, it looked like, and his countenance is so fell. The first man looked at the picture and he just went on. But the second man stopped and he was looking at this painting. And he got to looking at this painting until he looked at every piece on the chessboard. See, this man, glory, was an international chess champion. And he was looking at every piece so closely on this painting. And he was looking at each one. He spent 2 or 3 hours just dissecting this painting and this chessboard. Until finally something overwhelms him and he starts screaming out, "It's a lie! It is a lie! It's a lie!" Whoever said it was checkmate got it wrong. His friend run back over there and said, "What do you mean they got it wrong? Man, what's wrong? You causing a commotion. What's wrong?" He said, "The painter got it wrong. Because it ain't checkmate. Because the reason why is because I've looked at the board. And the king still has another move." Hallelujah! I said the king still has another move. Brother, Satan gets you down. He makes it look hopeless. It makes it look like it's over. But the king, I said the king still has another move. He may grin. He may laugh. It may look like it's finished, but don't count God out. Jesus went to the cross. He died as a man, and hell threw a party. They danced. They rejoiced. I told you he wasn't the Son of God. I told you he wasn't nothing until the door got knocked on. No doubt Satan crossed his arms and said, I got him now, with a grin on his face. And he told God, checkmate. Come on, somebody. But it ain't done till God says it's done. You ain't over till God says it's over. You ain't leaving here till God gets done with you. God's still got enough of us. Amen. I can just imagine when they're throwing a party in hell. And Jesus, that limp, lifeless body of my Savior, laid in that grave for 3 days. But on that third morning, after the sun had refused to shine, after the moon refused to give her light, when like it was completely over and there was no chance left, early one morning, about the rising of the sun, hallelujah, that grave began to rock, that grave began to shake, the stone got moved, and my Savior come out of the grave as a mighty conqueror. Who's humiliated now? Who's looked down on now? No doubt the devil thought, no more water walking, no more dead raising, no more sick healing, no more miracles being done, no more lame, no more blind seeing, you're done. But Satan always forgets. The story of my life and your life is the same. The master's going to come by. And when the master comes, something's going to happen. Because anytime Jesus shows up, something fixing to take place. He don't waste his time. Come on, somebody. He don't waste his time. The master coming called. Satan tries to tell you, you ain't nobody. You're never going to rapture. This is just fairy tale. You're believing in a hoax. It's done. I've won. People are still dying. People are still getting sick. Come on, somebody. You say Jesus is a mighty conqueror and there's still people dying. You're still putting them in the graveyard. See that liar? See that false accuser? You see how the slanderer works? He knows he's lost, but he tries to make you think otherwise. And he knows that he knows that he's lost already. But I have to remind the devil, my God ain't finished yet. He may not come on the first day when I called or the second day when I called Martha. He may be 4 days late, but he knows exactly when to be there. He knows the right time to be there. He knows when to show up. He knows when faith is going to move. Satan is not in control of my life. God is in control of my life. He's the one that controls this ship. You remember? Remember the little boy that went down to the Mississippi River? He went down there and there was an old man sitting on the side of the bank fishing right out in the middle of the Mississippi River. That little boy come down there and that old man looked over at him. He said, well, hey, sonny, what you doing down here? He said, well, I'm just waiting. He said, what you waiting on? He said, I'm waiting on that boat. He said, oh, you want to see the boat come by, do you? You like to see the paddles work on the old paddle boats. Brother, it wasn't just a few minutes around the corner come that great big paddle boat. And that little boy got all excited. He started jumping up and down, going, hey! Come over here, I want to ride. That old man looks over and says, son, calm down. That boat ain't got time for you. Why, he's got important people on that boat. There's businessmen, there's mayors, there's governors. I mean, he ain't got time for some child. The boy act like he never even heard him. He just kept going, hey, come over here, I want to ride. Son, calm down. That ship ain't got time to come over here and give you a joy ride. The boy just kept right on hollering and waving his arms. About that time, that big ship turned. Hallelujah!
He turned and come right down to the bank. They let out the drawbridge, and that little boy ran all the way up into the top of that tower of that boat, and he got over on the side of it. And the old man looked up and he said, "Son, I don't understand what's going on." He said, "I know you don't. See, what you don't know is my daddy's the captain of this ship." I said, "My daddy is the captain of this ship. It ain't over till God says it's over. It ain't done till God says it's done. My daddy's the captain of this ship." Sickness, swear it'll kill you. My daddy is the captain of this ship. Diabetes gonna take you to a premature grave, but let me tell you something, diabetes. My daddy's the captain of this ship. "Well, blood pressure, it'll kill you." Yeah, but you forgot. My daddy is the captain of this ship. He's in control of my life. Let's stand to our feet and our musicians go. Hallelujah. My daddy. My daddy's the captain of this ship. Brother, there's hope where it don't look like there's no hope. There's a way out when there doesn't look like a way out. He's always made a way of escape. I care what you're facing tonight. I don't care how dark it is. I don't care how empty you feel. He is a present help in the time of it. I challenge you to believe that tonight. He's a present help. Brother David, I called on him 3 days ago, but he ain't showed up. Oh, don't worry. He's coming. I called him 4 days ago. He ain't been nowhere around. He's coming. He's coming. What am I supposed to do? Remind your enemies, don't rejoice over me yet. Because my God will hear me. He will move on my behalf. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to make a way out. But he promised he would make a way of escape. And let me remind you, he is faithful. I trust you believe that tonight. Hallelujah. Let's bow our hearts if you would. I hope you believe that tonight. Bless him, brother. I hope you believe that tonight. The Lord would lay this on my heart to bring to you tonight, surely to goodness. Maybe it was everything you had just to get here to the house of God. Maybe it took every ounce of faith you had to get in that vehicle and start it and come to the house of God. But I want to remind you, tell the enemy not to rejoice over you yet. Because I will rise. I will get up. For he told me that wherever I am, he'll be also. If I make my bed in the mountain, he's going to be there. If I go ascend into heaven, he'll be there. If I make my bed in hell, he said, I'll be right beside you. Because he's a mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Lord, I may have done a poor job of delivering what you put on my heart tonight. But I pray, may these people look past the painting on the outside. May they look past the characterism and the mannerism of a man. And may they hear the voice that's calling, for the Master has come and he's calling them. May they hear your voice tonight, I pray, God. It's a voice of encouragement. It's a voice of faith. Lord, to rally the troops as it was. Amen! To rally them, to let them know that I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. It ain't over till I say it's over. Because I'm mindful of you. I'm mindful of your ways. I created you. I created thee. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. When thou walkest through the flames, they shall not even kindle upon thee. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. May it find a resting place in a heart, I pray, God. May the Holy Spirit take these words, Lord, and may the anointing behind them, I pray, God, may it be quickened into life. May it be quickened into reality in the hearts of your children, I pray. Grant it, I ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I said it reaches to the highest mountain, oh, and it flows to the lowest valley.
my strength.
Glory!
From day, oh, today, it will never.
Oh, help me sing it tonight. Why don't you lift your voice? Let the devil know what side you're on now.
Oh, I said it reached.
Glory!
Oh, the highest mountain.
Hallelujah!
Yes, I said it flows.
Thank you.
anything of it now. He's got it all. I don't care what you're dealing with. Let him have it.
Oh, he's got it all.
No matter how dark your child is, no matter how bad sick you are, no matter where you're at, whether you're in this building present or you're screaming tonight, I challenge your faith to take God in His Word. Satan, you devil, I condemn you by the Word of God. You leave God's children in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, He's got it all.
I put my life into His hands. Sing it out.
I put my life in the Master's hand. So every road I walk down, I'm sure is in His plan. I put my life in His hand. He holds the stars. God, He holds the land back from the sea. If He can do all of that, surely He can take.
Oh, come on and worship Me tonight, church. Worship Me with all your heart. Hallelujah. Yes, He does. Hallelujah.
He's got it all.
Oh, glory.
Control.
Amen.
Every assurance. In my soul.
Yes, in my soul.
He's got it all. In control.
We want to thank You tonight for Your Word. Lord, it's more than scriptures and just quotes. But if it could ever become a living reality to our hearts, Lord, that when we bow our heads and we pray, that we believe, Lord, the words that comes from our lips is moves from our heart. Our King hears our words. Lord, there's not one that's been dropped short. There's not one that's been ignored. Hallelujah. Lord, You heard each one. Lord, it may have not been in Your time when we ask, but Lord, You don't forget it. Hallelujah. Oh God, You move when You need to move, Father, and Your will be done. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask that You would search us, Lord, from the front to the back. Lord, we condemn the enemy and his tactics. Lord, we condemn that old slanderer, that old false accuser. Lord, may we push back tonight against the walls of the world. May we push back against the darkness and stand, Lord, and declare that You're not just God, but You are my God. Thank You tonight, Lord. May we leave this place, Lord, with a song in our hearts. Lord, a bounce in our step, knowing that our God is faithful. Grant it, I pray, Lord, for every heart in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said,
amen.
I wonder if we'd spend as much time telling God, besides telling God how big our problems is and how desperate our problems is, if we'd turn the table on that devil and tell that trouble, that sickness, that disease, how big my God is. What kind of a difference would it make in our life, in our relationship with God? Besides complaining and getting down, but we'd begin to cry out to Him, tell Him that there ain't no sickness going to stop our God.
Amen.
If death can't stop Him, why in the world should sickness stop Him? He's a faithful God. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy being in church tonight.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm going to be ready. Let's sing that while we're being dismissed. God bless you tonight. Go in the fear of God. I'm going to be ready. Sing it if you would, Brother Harry. Hallelujah.
Will I